We now go a little bit down south, Plettenberg Bay. 1 year in Plett, and on the line is Justin Joffe, the Ruv Gull of the Garden Route, known to all as Jussie. Jussie, 1 year, it was easy or it was difficult?
It was the best year, Paula, really, honestly. Shalom to everybody. Shalom to all of my friends from far and to near, everybody that's listening. Yeah. Today marks exactly the day on which Jackie left, and she was the advance guard to move to Plett. It's not easy to do a claim trek, I'm telling you. You know, it's not a trek, but it's not a claim trek.
And as part of the advance guard, what did she have to prepare so that you would arrive and everything would be ready?
Basically, you know, get ready to get the house in order. I think that her primary task that I said to her was, I sent her with Ms. Resort for the new house. And when I arrived shortly before Shabbat on what would be this coming Friday, but a year ago, Parshat Balak, the first thing I did as soon as I got to the house before Shabbat came in and everything, the first thing that we did was we put up a mezuzah on the front door, and we were here. We had arrived, and that was a year ago, almost to the day exactly.
Jussie, what actually made the two of you decide to move to Plett?
I think we got to ask the question the other way around. It's there is so much in Plett magneting us, attracting us, that
why did it take you so long
to stay in Johannesburg? Exactly that. Everybody said to me over all the years that I came Rosh Hashanah with that shelter, and they said to me, one day you'll come, and one day we did. And one day is one day, my friends, and
now
it always
it's 365
happens.
Days. You mentioned Parshat Balak. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Because obviously that's going to be the Parsha this week as well, a year later.
That is correct. That is correct. Parshat Balak. And Balak deals with, once again, an enemy of Israel trying to destroy Israel. Bilam, the king of Edom, I think it was a Moab, one of those eastern civilizations, if you can call them a civilization. They tried, as the Ayatollah did, with all types of military actions, and they saw the result, the unfavorable result that Amalek suffered. He didn't suffer well enough, so they didn't finish the job, unfortunately. But Bilam was of the opinion that we're not going to defeat the Israelis militarily as they know it today. We can't beat them by military. We've got to beat them a different way. And they've tried, and they've failed, and they know this, and it'll always happen that way. We always win because we have to, because Hashem is with us. And he decided now he's going to use magic. I mean, that's really unfair. It's a war crime and crimes against humanity and crimes against civilization.
Yeah, we know the lingo.
Crimes against magicians and crimes against party people and abracadabra, and it's really not fair. And he sent his best party magician called Balak to go and deliver magic against, well, I mean, that's like whistling against a hurricane. And Balak didn't have a nice white 4x4 SUV, whatever it is, to get up the hill. He had a white donkey, basically a Shrek. And even the donkey didn't want to go there and go on this mission, and he wanted to opt out. And he stopped walking the donkey because he saw, he had the intelligence to see the power of Hashem manifested in the angel Gabriel standing there with a fiery sword in front of him. A donkey could see it. A human being that thought that they could put magic onto Israel couldn't see this. And he hit the donkey, and the donkey spoke to him and said, well, you know, why are you hitting me? And he answered the donkey like it's perfectly right for donkeys to talk. I know that a lot of people think that there are talking donkeys in radio stations, but that may well be.
There's AI readers in radio stations. I don't know about talking donkeys.
Anyway,
AI donkeys maybe.
Then he was determined to continue with his magic against Israel, and of course Hashem didn't allow that to happen, and he turned his utterance that he was going to pronounce over the encampment of Israel into the first hymn that we say, as soon as we walk into a synagogue, Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov Mishkanotecha Yisrael. How good are your tents, Jacob, your settlements, your neighborhoods, your living areas, your communities of Israel. And that is absolutely true this very day. And unfortunately, weeks ago, when we saw smashed neighborhoods, smashed buildings in and around Israel, where Iranian missiles had unfortunately penetrated and done damage, I said to myself, Matovo Ohalecha, how good are these houses? Because the people can rebuild. Thank God. It's unfortunate that anybody had to get hurt. Even more of a tragedy, Chalila, Chas v'Shalom, that anybody had to leave this world as a result of that. But Matovo Ohalecha, the houses were fitted out with a mamad or a mamak or a miklat or the defensive structures, and there's pikud ha'oref, and there was warning. And that too, Matovo Ohalecha, it was an encouragement to me to come here, that you're going into a place where it's good, where there are good houses, where there are good people, where there are good families, where there are good, where it's a good community. Mishkanotecha Yisrael. And of course, our...
And so, Jassy, sorry to interrupt, but talking about a good community, I want to ask you, any stories that stand out from any of the festivals, maybe like on Purim, when you try to go to the bakery to make Ozney Haman?
Yeah, that was the triangular Jewish samosas for, you know, the sweet ones, jam, cheese, minced black poppy seed. Yeah. Okay. So, Jackie and I couldn't produce them here because we don't know how to bake. And, okay. So, in the bakery, and we said, well, ladies, can you assist? And they were very... they were very intrigued. I approached my rabbi, Google, the one that tells me everything, the wisest one of them all. I asked, you know, what's the secret of Ozney Haman, successful ones? And I printed that out and I gave it to the young apprentice, baker lady, lovely lady at the bakery down the road, and she said she will attempt. Well, I mean, that's a whole Purim Megillah all of its own. So she found me up and she said, okay, yours now, man, jam and white cheese and poppy seed are now ready for sample. I've got samples, two of each for you. Come around and sample them. Well, people, can you imagine? I mean, it's like taking a Rolls Royce to a Mercedes dealer and asking a Mercedes mechanic to service a Rolls Royce. You know, you can't do it. It was a cross between a samosa, a communion wafer, and a piece of matzah with a sprinkling of jam and mon, your little poppy seeds, the size of half of your palm.
And what about what about drinking milk with that? I mean, have you got any stories about buying milk in good old Plet?
I tell you, you know, to be a land of milk and honey, okay, Eretz Israel is always milk and honey, and we've known that, and it's also metamorphosized from milk and honey to silk and money, but let's not go there. In Plet, because it is such an agricultural and rural and laid back, and I mean, wherever you look, there's cattle, oxen, horses, goats, sheep. I'm privileged to hear chickens and roosters early in the morning, just around the neighborhood, which you don't hear in Johannesburg. You see sheep from time to time. I mean, it happens. And there's a lovely dairy straight up the road, straight up. You drive on Robert Road, what then becomes known as the Airport Road, and you go around a curve, and there is Cambrogi. It's a Cambrogi farm and forest, and in there is a wonderful dairy. And on Monday afternoons and Thursday afternoons, they're open to the public, and you bring your own container, and there's a line of cars at the gate already, I'm telling you. And people come in with the most huge, big, like 25-liter jerry cans or milk. So I asked the one lady, no, waarom koop jy soveel milk? wag met daarmee maak met also hierdie hoeveelheid melk. Nee, ons het lammers by die huis en ons geel kos met die botteltjie. They're helping to raise lambs with on a bottle, and they need a copious amount of milk. I mean, Jackie and I, it's cold. Okay, today's only, it's a magnificent, splendid, clear day, not a puff of wind, 51 degrees, 51% relative humidity, dry, and cold, 15, 16 degrees.
And Justin, we're going to have to leave you, but I mean, one last thought that you want to share? I mean, besides, you know, boasting about the wonderful weather you have, and it's cold here in Joburg, you're inviting us all to Plet.
Say again?
You're inviting us all, right?
Along. I mean, it's a fantastic place to be. It's people are friendly, neighbors are friends, friends are neighbors.
Okay.
You know, it's living in a community. For which really, there's no comparison in town. One can understand what community living means.
The Rav Gal of the Garden Route, known to all of us as Jussie, thank you. And enjoy the next year in Plet. And I'm sure we'll chat to you before your second year anniversary.